Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is our privilege to be at your feet, Lord, to wait upon you, to hear from you. Lord, speak to us. Give us attentive ears to hear your word. Bless us to receive your word as you want us to be. Let your word has his purpose in every one of our life, personally, spiritually, and also as a family. In all things, help us to glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Thank you. I have one request from all of you. Sorry for the last minute information. I want all of you to stay together as a family. Spouses together, children to be together before you sit. All the children, please reach your parents. All the brothers, please check where is your spouse. Stay to them. Quickly, quickly. If you found your spouse, you can sit with them. Until then, you keep standing. You may be wonder, why is this? It is a continuation of part of the message from last week tonight. And also you may be wonder another thing. From the beginning, we are talking about building, building, building. Yes, even last week's message is also a confirmation of this week's message. What was the last week's message? Holy temple, a habitation of God, the Trinity. So we are learn the habitation of God about the foundation, structure, pillar, or all these things in context, in comparing with the physical to the spiritual. So in the same way, from the beginning we know God is the builder. Even the promises says, people are building a house, but God is the one who builds the family. Hello? God is the one who builds us the family. So for today's message, I titled, Building Christian Home and Family. Building Christian Home and Family. So the family is, see, last time when we mentioned about the family, the father, husband, wife, father, and the children. But without how the family instituted, the family is instituted by God. So as an introduction, the family is the foundational institution of the society ordained by God. It is constituted by marriage and is composed of persons related to one another by marriage. The purpose of the family is to reflect God's character. It provides a safe place where children can experience God's love through their parents and learn how to love God and others. Hope you understood. What is family? Family is the foundational institute of God by two persons. It is God who makes it. There we can learn the Christian character, the godly character, the nature, so that the world will know even through our children. Family is an important concept of the Bible. God instituted as when he created Eve and Adam as a helpmate to him. Jesus Christ taught that the marriage is holy and essential to God's plan. In Proverbs 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. When you look at it from the Genesis, how God created, why God made the family together. Genesis 1:27-28, sister, can you read it?
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
When God created, he created them as male and female, and in his own image. And he gave them, he blessed them, and what did he say? He gave them as he blessed, be fruitful, multiply. See, here it says, be fruitful, multiply the earth, subdue it, and dominion over. These are all the blessings for the mankind when he instituted family on this earth. The same thing, chapter 2:18-24, sister 18.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him make a helper comparable to him.
24.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
What does it mean? When God created, everyone knows, we are aware of it. When God created the world from day one, he was keep on saying, it is good, it is good. Till the sixth day, he said, it is good. Seventh day, he rested. Then he created man, and before creating, he said to himself, it is not good for man to be alone. One thing God said in the Bible or by himself is, the first thing, it is not good for man to be alone. Further, I will make him a helper comparable to him. So whenever the parents looking for the mat for the children, the boy or girl, and they are getting delayed, I used to tell them, encourage them, whatever we take the effort and months together or years together, but God said, it is not you or others, I will make him your helper. So that means we claim that it is God who is take the responsibility and to give you a very comparable matching life partner. Amen? Amen. So here, about why I move one step further from the family. Without the marriage, there is no family. Hello? Without the marriage, there is no family. But the family, about the family, what the Bible says, the meaning of it is a sanctity of a marriage. The marriage is called a holy matrimony. The meaning for sanctity is defined as a quality of being holy, sacred, that is the commonly called as a holy matrimony. So the sacredness of marriage. What is the sacredness of marriage? I will go fast, just give you the outline itself only. You just think about it and understand what it means to you. It may be most of us, it's a reminder how we came up. And for some of them, those who are yet to marry, and it is a new message for them, and that's an encouragement. Marriage is the one of the holiest of the relations two people can have. So two people should have a holiest relations. Secondly, marriage is a bond created by God Himself. Thus, we must treat as a sacred. Marriage is not something to be entered into lightly. Those who are waiting to get married, or even for us, it's a reminder how we were united and how we are today. Secondly, the marriage was instituted by God from every beginning, or in the very beginning, the following the creation, as we read from Genesis, even it was endorsed by our Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew 19:3-4. And the marriage is designed for those who created as male and female. I hope you understand that. We are not far from that. Whose union becomes one flesh, produce offspring. That was the purpose of God putting male and female together. Secondly, marriage is regulated by Jesus Christ. Number one, Jesus has been given all authority, will be our judge in all things. He has all authority. We have to accept it. Authority over everything in the sense, even authority over us, whoever we are. He has the authority over us as a family and as a head and as a husband or as a wife. So he thought that man may try to put apart, but only God puts apart. One may legally divorce or remarry, but adultery can still occur. God allows a divorce only for fornication and remarriage by the innocent. Thirdly, Apostle Paul had more to say concerning the marriage. Marriage is for life, not for only the time. Marrying another while one spouse is alive is adultery. Revelation 7:1-4. Each person is to have his or her own spouse, not shared. Husbands, wife have certain duties towards one another. One is not to divorce. If divorced, must remain single or return to the spouse. The references are given there. Just you can take it. It may not be applicable to everyone, but it is applicable for someone. That's why this message was brought today. And those who are linked or abide by these scriptures, it's an encouragement and it's a time to thank our God. If you believe, say amen to that. Marriage is next. Marriage is reserved for intimacy. Marriage is reserved for intimacy. The only proper relationship for sexual intimacy is marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Not before the wedding, during the courtship, but only after the wedding. Greatly simplifying the personal question, when is the right time? Secondly, the sex outside the marriage between a man and woman is fornication. It is widely mentioned in the epistles as a condemnation and as a sin. Fornication includes premarital or extramarital or same-sex relations. That all of you know, be aware of it. Such a conduct can be kept, keep one of our kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 to 10. Sister, can you read that? 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10.
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
Thank you. So, as a completion, a successful marriage requires mutual respect and trust. It applies for every one of us. A successful marriage requires mutual respect and trust. As a completion, marriage is a sacred institution instituted by God in the beginning, regulated by Jesus Christ, his apostles in the Word of God, reserved for sexual intimacy between a man and a woman. Secondly, marriage is a successful institution when we follow the biblical injunctions concerning it, when members of the family fulfill their proper roles. There are 10 commandments very successful for a successful marriage. Just quickly we'll go through it. 10 commandments for a successful marriage. Bear and forbear. Work together. Play together. And grow up together. Avoid the little quarrels, and the big ones will take care of themselves. Compromise, that is give and take. It is the antitoxin for breaking up or divorce. Practice sympathy, good humor, and mutual understanding. Don't grudge before breakfast or after it. Mostly people used to talk that time. And that will break some of the places, some of the families. Respect your in-laws, but don't criticize them or take criticism from them. I do not know how many of you are experiencing it. When all of you are silent, as if I am speaking to the walls or the air. We are living people. This is all about us. We are humans. We are created by God with all sense, with all emotions. And what do you tell me? What is the message I learned from you? I can learn from you by your silence. Let me know. Let me proceed. Establish your own home, even in the one-room flat. Fight for each other, but not for... Fight for each other, but not with each other. So that means you have to defend your spouse, but you cannot quarrel, fight with your spouse. Build your home on religious faith with love and forgiveness as the watchword. This is what something added when we talk about the family. Now we move on to the same thing what we have heard during the last week tonight about the families. So even over the instance already as mentioned, so just the outlines for you, what are the duties of husband? What are the duties? Love your wives. Maybe you should have heard this from your life, maybe more than 1,000 times. Love your wives. Even how much you are loving, you know it. So how it is? The comparison is, as Christ loved the church. See the comparison the scripture gives us. As Christ loved the church, as they love their own bodies. As an husband, as Christ loved the church, I should love my wife. As I love my own body, I should love my wife. And free from bitterness. Colossians 3:19 says, that is resentment or hate, often accompanied with the wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all, avoid all those things. Ephesians 4:31, I will read it. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So these are all the things we should be very careful about as husbands. Secondly, respect your wives by how you treat them, and you will be treated too. Silent? That means I am talking something far from you or from your relationship? I don't think. And if it is so, it is an encouragement, and it is a time to thanking God if you are abide by these words. So how you treat them with understanding, with honor, as the weaker vessel. This is how we have to consider our wives. By how you view them, how you view your wife as a fellow heir of grace of life, as one who affects the efficacy of your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7 gives answer for many things what I mentioned here. 1 Peter 3:7, sister.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Thank you. Thirdly, support your wives by providing for the family. The husband and the father has the duty to provide for his family. That is his responsibility. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. If a husband, the head of the family, does not provide the family needs, the conclusion of the verse is, you will be considered as worse than an unbeliever. Being a believer, it is our responsibility. Secondly, by letting your contribute, by letting her contribute in every part and the place of the family. As a one, The virtuous woman contributed much to the support of the family. A wise husband lets her contribute and to be praised for it. Most of the things, why it is, I am sorry, I could not able to explain everything. But most of the things sometimes a husband does, we want to do. These are all the things that don't enter. This is mine. I will take care of. We don't let the spouse to enter in. Very especially when it comes to, we'll tell, and the rest of the things. And when it comes to finance and other things and the legal things, we will put our wives away and we want to deal those things. So everything has to be transparent between the spouses. Proverbs 31:29-31, if you go through it, but I'm not reading because of the time, and how we are, she has to be appreciated. And the last part I will say, but you excel all of them, and a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised, even her children won't, and appreciate them, let her own works praise her in the gates. So that she should be. Again, last time I brought you about 7 commandments for husband. Now I increase to another 3. Here are the 10 commandments. Just take it out. Number 1, you shall not take your wife for granted, but will honor and respect her as your equal. You are honest, against, except God shall be your wife, not relatives or friends. Please take this, very important life principles or commandments. However you are in the past, we do not know. Now the message comes to you for the rest of your life. You shall frequently tell her how important and valuable she is to you. Can you say you are a spouse now? You shall hold your wife's love by the same means you own it. How it was in the past, in the beginning, the same thing should be experienced right now. Before marriage how was, soon after marriage how was, and how is today. You refresh it. 5. You shall actively establish family discipline with your wife's help. Family means including your children. You should be disciplined. You are a disciple. You should discipline your wife, and you are also responsible to discipline your children too. 6. Remember to do all the little things. All the little things for your wife when you say you will. Time to time when we are from this pulpit in the wedding anniversary, pastors used to tell, once you said you will, now remember. So now it is, again, it is not only those who are celebrated or celebrating the anniversary. For all of us who are married, once you said you will, now, once again, tell your spouse you will. 7. Keep your eyes on your own wife, not your neighbors. Look at them. Look at each other. Some people, they don't talk. Face to face, they don't talk. When I am speaking to wife, you are not a sight or doing something, you speak. No. Face to face. You shall make every effort to see things from your wife's point of view. Hope you understood. You shall not fail to kiss your wife every morning. That will solve most of the problems. 10. You shall not be stingy with your wife when it comes to money. I gave you 9 commandments. No clapping, no sound. Everything was silent. Only for the 10th commandment. Everyone is so excited. So that means I sense that there is a default in that area. That will be updated from today. Amen. Okay, let's move on to duties of wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Time and again, from the marriage, even before marriage, we heard about it. How much we are submissive, you know it. I cannot judge it. As the church submit to Christ, see the comparison. How Christ loved the church, husbands are as to love the wife. But here, as church, the body submit to Christ in everything. The same way the wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Even as a Christian wives, we are to submit to God and else everything. Without nagging or irritating, with gentleness and quietness. 1 Peter 3:1-4. With respect, even as Sarah respected Abraham. Wives need to submit to their husband, just as a Christians are to submit to Christ. Secondly, love your husband with affection. How to love? With affection, with intimacy. The reference are given to you. Titus 2:4 and 2:3-4. With intimacy, I can just highlight it. To prevent unfaithfulness, 1 Corinthians 7:2-5. Rendering affection properly due, not withholding marital rights. Abstaining only with mutual consent for the purpose of prayers. Just as the husbands are commanded to love their wives, so the wives are also commanded to love their husbands. If the original love has been lost, it needs to be relearned and followed. Thirdly, manage the home. That is the work of responsibility of wives. As a homemaker, to be discreet, chaste, and the homemaker first as good. Titus 2:5, manage the house, 5:14, 1 Timothy 5:14. This also can be learned from older sisters in Christ. In the same way, as a mothers, we are responsible or instructed to young women, marry and bear children. 1 Timothy 5:14. Now it comes to 10 commandments for wives. Number one. Expect not your husband to give you as many luxuries as your father has given to you after many years of hard labor. Some people used to talk about it. I was like that in my father's house. I had this kind of food. I had this much of house. When it comes to marry your husband, this is your family, whatever it is. As I mentioned before, even a single bedroom flat also enough. Okay. And second, you shall work hard to build your house with a house spend that you have, not fanatizing about the one that could not have it been. See, sometimes it depends, even every family. One person earning is there, another person taking care of for the sake of the children and sake of the making home. Sometimes the children are grown up, ultimately they have to look for job for both to work together so that they can have a better lifestyle of a house as well as for the betterment of the children. So that's why equally it is expected based on the need. Again, it is, I cannot make that as a compulsory and based on the need. Third, you shall not nag or hit him with your frying pan or kindle. Sometimes they drop it. How to express their anger? With the vessels in the kitchen. And if something is going on, that is the reflection of your attitude. Be aware of it, sensitive, try to solve the problems. What is the contentions between you? Four, you shall coddle, pamper your husband and be warm with warm wife. Be a warm wife. You understand that? Hope you understand that. Okay, five. Remember that the frank approval of your husband is more to you than the side glances of many strangers. Sometimes some wives, they don't straight away ask for their spouse, husband, they consult with others, feel that that is better. No, never ever. No one is greater than your own husband. Six, you shall not yell at your husband, but will be a gentle and quiet spirit. You know the meaning of it. For each and everything, some houses. So it is always, whatever the small things, the spouse raise their voice and shout at. There is no pleasant or polite response, and that has to be avoided. Look at each other. Is there any time when you come across these experiences? Seven, permit no one to assure you that you are having a hard time of it. Don't give any room or for others to estimate or assume of your relationship. Never ever give a room for others when it comes to. But some people, they pretend outside. When you go inside only, the reality will be there. But even that too is a wrong thing. Okay. You shall not fail to dress up for your husband with an eye to please him as you did before marriage. They should be pleasant. Not all the time as a housemaid. When the husband comes from outside, even though they are wives at home, not all the time you are from the morning till evening you are in the kitchen. So you should be refreshed by yourself. Nine, you shall submit your husband from your heart to allow him to be head of the household. You shall assure your husband and others that he is the greatest man alive. Amen? Okay, quickly we'll go for the duties of the parents. Or I will leave that and we'll move on to something important. Only the outline is there. The duties of the parents. And we have considered the duties of the husbands and the wives. As a summary, for husband, love their wives, respect their wives, support their wives. As a wife, submit to your husbands, love their husband, manage your home. Duties of the father, provide life's necessity, already mentioned to you. Do not provoke children to wrath. And provide a spiritual training, provide a loving discipline. These are all the responsibility of the father. Most of the families, it is vice versa. Only the wives take care of, but the husband is busy with their work. No, as a head of the family, it is your responsibility to bring up and keep a Christian home. You are the head of the family. You are the head of the family, not for having authority over all other things with the finance. More than that, you are the head of the family to discipline your whole family. Your children are you are responsible, and the children has to follow you. The duties of the mother: love the children, manage their households, provide a spiritual training, because the mothers mostly spend time with their children. And fathers fulfill their duties as a Christian man, mothers fulfill their duties as a Christian woman. No home is perfect, and as a father and mother, we often fall short. But with God's grace and mercy, let us do the best we can. Let us give our children the guidance as they may be succeeded where we have failed. Again, seven ways to bring up your children. Quickly, a model, growing and a personal faith. If they don't see it, they won't catch it. So you are the example. More than the Bible, more than the verses you teach, your way of life, make them to learn from your life. Time and again I used to mention, if you have a daughter, daughter should always desire to have a partner like a father. So the same way, if you have a son, son always from a childhood or a small, as a young person, he should have a desire built up in his mind. If at all I wanted to get married, I should have a wife like my mother. See, my brothers and sisters, it is true from this pulpit, and some of the children are not yet married because following their parents. Because I heard in one of the family, and one of the two boys, the boys, they said, I saw how much my father is struggling, so I don't want to get married. It should not happen. I don't want to go for the same experience. In the same way, some of the girls are not married because knowing about how the father treated his mother. So be an example to your children. Let the children learn from you. More than learning from the outside, learning from the school, learning from the church, let them see you in your home, who you are to your children. That is the most important. Again, include faith in a normal conversation. And be well-rounded. Don't classify your faith. Be authentic. So always it should be truth. And serve together. Pray for your children and with them. Learn the communicate, love their language. Family altar solves all the problems. I have no time to explain about how our families are. Family altar is most important, evening and the morning. See, when I am at 10 years and 11 years old, as we have started our family prayer in the morning, 4:30, all of us sit together on the ground, and evening at 8 o'clock. So the turn is like that. So we have a competition in the sense of selecting the songs, reading the picture, scriptures and praying. So as a head of the family, I assign the job to my father one night and one morning. That is his choice. According to his choice, he selects the songs. And the reading of the Bible is, in the evening, we go for the Gospel, New Testament. In the morning, we used to read chapter by chapter, by the Psalms or the Proverbs. That's it. And it is not like now we understood, we have the knowledge about the meditation. That days, and we know only the reading the Bible and praying. So in that case, that's all. What I am today is the foundation, what my parents laid in our life. If it is not in your family, but most of the family, I know that there is a time of meditation in your families along with your children. It is very much appreciated. All glory belongs to God. If you are such a parents and if you have such a children. But those who do not, please try to conduct your family altar. Duties of the children, very quickly. Obey your parents. So it is taught everywhere. How to obey in the Lord in this right. This is right according to the word. In all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Honor your parents, both father and mother. Some of the families it is partial. Some children, they are with the parent, father. Some children are with the mother. And if it is a boy, he will attach with the mother. If it is a girl, she will be attached with the father. In one of the parents I asked recently, when they have both boy and girl, and whom you like it? Actually, it's a wrong question. I understood that. But when I asked the daughter, are you, father is your very favorite to you? The answer from the father is, no, Pastor, both of them are two eyes to me. That means they are equal. If any differences in your life, in your family, in relation to your children, those days we are six children, but in your life, in your family, you may have even one, but your love to that child should be equal. The child should not be partial or depend on who shows much love to them. So, children, you should love your parents. Support your parents. Whatever the work, in whatever the way, children, those who are sitting here, that's why you are whole today. You are expected to support your parents in all the way. Whatever they does it, you have to. So I grow up like that. Even at the age of 10 and 12, I used to help all of us in everything. Even cleaning inside, cleaning outside, washing our clothes, everything we learn by ourselves. But these days, this is a modern world. You may not have that kind of duties, but still you are encouraged to do and help your father, your mother, whatever the way you can solve the issues or deburden their works. As taught by Paul, teaching concerning the care of, the right duties of our children is fine. And as a conclusion, the duties of the children are obey your parents, honor your parents, support your parents. So, blessed is the home, the family where husbands and wife fulfill their duties to one another. Parents and children fulfill their duties to one another. Amen? Amen. Quickly, I'll go to the duties of the singles. As we know, from the already in the introduction, I put Genesis 1, 27 and 28, and also Genesis 2, 18 and 24, and it is not God's will for anyone to be single, whether you are married or you are unmarried. Now, we are going for unmarried. Reason for not being married. Reasons for not being married. Moses. Reasons for not being married. Next. Yes. For some, it may be due to circumstances. Women who have never been asked to marry, men who have yet to find a woman to accept their proposal. This may be one of the reasons. Secondly, for others, it may be due to choice. There are times when single may be the best choice. Some choose singleness to service to God. In some of the churches it happens. They remain single to serve the Lord. Secondly, the duties of those unmarried. Marry, if necessary, to avoid fornication. Marriage is an honorable way to avoid fornication. Of course, this presumes one has a scriptural right to marry. Secondly, remain chaste. If not married, First Corinthians 6, 9, 11, 18 to 20. You can refer all these things. And because of the time, I have to rush up the things. So sexual intimacy outside the marriage is a fornication. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality. Use your singleness for the Lord. As a second, the divorced. The divorced, yes. The reason for being divorced. For some, it may be for scriptural reasons. They put away their spouses for fornication. Or they realize they were in an unlawful marriage. Secondly, for the others, it may be for unscriptural reasons. They were put away for no fault of their own. Or they put away their spouse for reasons other than fornication. The duties of those divorced. Return to your spouse if possible. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. Sister, can you read it quickly? 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11.
Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife.
Amen. In an effort to reconcile and restore the marriage, especially if the reason was not for fornication. Secondly, avoid an adulterous marriage. Matthew 5, 31 to 31, 32. Romans 7, 2 to 3. Is it there? Yeah, you can take down. So avoid an adulterous marriage. It is possible for a marriage to result in adultery. Unless fornication was the cause of divorce, remarriage is adultery. Third, remarry only on scriptural grounds. Matthew 19:9, where fornication was the cause of the divorce, in which innocent party put away the guilty party. Finally, consider what the scripture teach concerning. If anyone needs counseling, they can seek counseling from the leaders. So do not remain single. Thirdly, the widowed, the young widow. Paul counsels the young widow to marry again. 1 Timothy 5:14. To avoid idleness, gossip, become busybody. You are expected to. These are all the reason according to the scripture. Of course, this presumes that one is willing to marry her. The next, the aged widow. To trust in God, serve Him in prayer. 1 Timothy 5:5. Like Anna did. Luke 2, 36 to 38. As a conclusion, singleness, whether by choice or circumstances, can be a blessing. Freedom from care in times of distress or persecution. Take the references. Freedom to serve the Lord in ways that the married cannot. Second, singleness does not have its disadvantages as well. Number one, the danger of temptation. the danger of loneliness, the danger of self-centeredness. Third, should you find yourself in a condition of being single, use your freedom to serve God. Watch out for dangers of being single. Remember that you are in the family of God. So here in the Matthew, Mark, if you read it, there is a hundredfold blessings Jesus Christ has promised. Whoever wanted to follow me, whoever for the sake of following Christ left the houses, the family, the father, the mother, and all these things, they will receive hundredfolds of blessings. Refer the blessings. Whatever our circumstances, married or single, may we follow God's word and glorify Him with our families and with our life. God bless you.
Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Today's message is like a water that pond on the highway, and a vehicle moved through that water, and every family is standing by the roadside. And whenever that happens, it means it splash. So no home is perfect. Building Christian home and family. Brethren, no home is perfect. I will read from Proverbs 14:1. But I'm going to read it differently because it says different things, but I'm paraphrasing it now. The wise couple build their house, but with their own hands, the foolish one tear their own down. We will never tear our own down in the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:8-9 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. May God continue to build our home for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Brethren, today's message, I will ask Pastor. I think maybe the slide can be shared in the WhatsApp group, but I'm sure it will be uploaded on the website. Please, with the slide, everything will be uploaded there. You can go back there and listen to the message. Our home shall continue to be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's be on our feet and let's quickly pray. Pray with your own mouth and tell God that, God, go with my family. Help me to build my home. Help me to build my family. Continue to tell God that, Lord, help me, Lord, to build my home. When the Spirit of God help you, you'll be able to build the proper Christian home. Continue to talk to God. Dedicate your family to serve God. In serving God, you'll be able to know that, yes, you are building a Christian home. Pray that God should release vision into your home. God should release His own vision into your home. Above all, pray for unity in your family. Pray for unity in your home. Pray for unity between you and your spouse. Pray for unity between you and your children. Pray for unity between you and your parents. Pray for the family, that my family shall continue to grow in God's kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for good health. When all of you are in good health, that God will utter good health in your family and you will live in peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for financial breakthrough as well, that God should give your should meet up with the financial need of your family, and pray for your children and pray for your parents, that God Almighty will continue to lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we want to bless your name for today's message. We want to thank you, Lord, that you reminded us how to build our homes. Father, we know this message is for every home. Even though no home is perfect, Father, we pray that you continue to help us to build our home on your path, on your foundation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every area that need touch in our home, Father, do yourself. Minister to each and every one of us that we're able to know that this is the area that need touch. This is the area that need upliftment in our family, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for your servant that you have used for us today. Father, continue to build his home in the mighty name of Jesus. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. The depth of the wisdom that you have given up to him shall continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper in the mighty name of Jesus. That source of wisdom shall never dry up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. He has helped us, Lord, to build our home today. Lord, continue to build his own home for him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless sister, and bless everything that connected to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we depart here, let your presence go with us in the mighty name of Jesus. And when we meet for the victory night service, Father, let our testimony be greater in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall live forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and do have a wonderful week ahead of you.